On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Certainly is. Tall Can Sports. Another one with Rob over there. Me over here.
Fucking guy.
Hey, maybe you need to fucking be a little more careful.
Maybe you pay more attention.
Yeah. When I'm teeing you up, you don't need to be...
What else comes after that?
Promoting Rob, your alcoholism.
Rob over there. Pause for the... Oh, but then you just roll right over it.
To me, because like, I matter. I'm important.
Like it's the first one we've done.
Yeah. We thought we might answer a couple of, this fucking, you're talking over my beer.
Yeah, muttering under your breath, right, fucking guy.
I miss beer. I'm ready for a beer.
Yeah, I miss it too.
Luckily, it's right here.
It's within arm reach.
Thought we might do a little, I don't know, Q&A is not the right word. I find fan mail to be obnoxiously overselling it, but maybe listener mail, maybe that's...
I think listener mail is probably the best way to go.
It's clear sometimes. I know you don't spend a lot of time on our Twitter accounts, but fan is often not... I think some people listen just to, oh, these fucking idiots.
To throw a shoe?
Who throws a shoe, honestly?
I need that back.
It's going to be embarrassing walking out of here.
Exactly. I'm ditching the other one too.
Yeah, at some point, it's pretty clear who threw that.
Yeah, look at that guy over there.
So we got a couple through Twitter. Got a couple here sent in through the contact page at tallcanaudio.com, which has actually been, I don't know, maybe...
Hopping? Is that too much?
Probably.
Okay. But as is the handle fan, so
right.
We're doing it.
Maybe
all in the nature of alternative facts.
Yeah, alternative facts. This is a great show.
Alternative facts.
www.tallcanaudio.com/contact.
Matt is quite slim. Alternative facts.
Rob is well hung. Alternative facts.
Alternative facts for sure.
That's one place you can always send your feedback, whether it's something you want to ask about the show or just in general. Hit tallcanaudio.com on the contact page. That works. Or at tallcanaudio, at tallcansports on Twitter.
That's why I have thumbs like this, honestly. Nobody would ever get
anyway.
Pleasure from any of this.
Now he's talking about the show.
Hey, anything. Fill in the blank. Dot, dot, dot.
We got a couple things to get to here, so let's not screw around too long.
Stop with your screwing around.
The first one, and I tried a little bit. Some of you who went through the contact page, totally up to you what you leave as a handle or where you are.
Jump.
Right.
You don't leave that.
Others of you, I dig a little deeper into your Twitter profiles to see if I can see where you're from because it helps a little, and some of you aren't offering that up either. So all I have here is this is from Jamie. Is there a chance for the Tampa Bay Lightning that this off year could be beneficial to them like it was in the past for Philadelphia and Montreal when good teams had bad years and ended up drafting JVR and Alex Galchenyuk.
Yeah.
It's interesting to me because I did a little looking back on that. The 2007 draft is when Philly fell back a little bit and got JVR. In 2008, though, they really... I looked at the 2007-8 standings.
And they flipped JVR for Shen, or what is it? What is
yeah,
that?
That was a while later, though.
Yeah, but I'm just saying in terms of the,
straight up,
the
Shen
entrails
for JVR.
Of that.
And JVR would... well, he's still doing pretty well. Toronto won that trade, right? Shen ends up staying in Toronto or in Philly for a while. He goes with LeCavalier to LA and is now in Phoenix. So that didn't work out very well for. But at the time, JVR is a number two overall pick. First time ever that Americans went 1-2. Probably an easy question. Do you remember who the number one pick was in the 2007 draft? Now that I've said he was American.
Wait.
Yep.
It's not coming to me, but did he play major junior hockey?
He did play major junior hockey.
Patrick Kane?
It is Patrick Kane. Okay. So Americans go 1-2 in the 07 draft. JVR.
Honestly, I don't remember Kane going number one. That's odd.
Yeah. Number one overall in the 07 draft. That draft was in Columbus, Ohio. Obviously, I only know all this because I just finished reading
it. Yeah, okay. But
so in the year following... I don't love this as an example from Jamie because Philly was just okay. Then they got in the next year, but they weren't that good. That is still kind of the evolve. In 2010, Philly would go to the Cup final under this still, but it's Mike Richards, it's Jeff Carter early on. But they still have guys like, remember Ladislav Modrý?
Yeah.
Remember that Mike Knuble was on this team?
Love Mike Knuble.
Right. So this is a team in transition, and it wasn't a very good team, but absolutely dropping down and getting JVR was strange for them. Alex Galchenyuk's the 2012 draft. He goes number three or four overall to Montreal as they're having an off season, and then we go into the lockout. It's the half season, so he doesn't really factor in there.
And I get what Jamie's saying.
Sure, but I'm just kind of laying a little... To me, the better example... is 2014 when Jonathan Drouin goes to Tampa. Tampa had just played a year or so earlier in the conference final against Boston, and then they have a terrible year, go get Jonathan Drouin, and then come back, right? Even in we go way back 1995 in the NBA, and David Robinson gets hurt for the San Antonio Spurs, and they end up drafting Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
And right. Have like five.
Nice get there.
Sure. Right. So you have like 5-6 years of the two of them together. And then Duncan's been a franchise guy ever since. Right. So, I mean, it's interesting. I don't love the two examples he's given, but I know the point he's making.
Right.
But even looking at Tampa, where they go get Jonathan Drouin when already being a great team.
See, to me, there's a couple teams that have shit the bed so fiercely this year that they're already not. You know, they're sort of in that.
Yeah.
And let's face it, I think if they don't make a move in the next couple of weeks.
You're back on Tampa now?
Yeah, back to Tampa. If they don't make a move.
Today, as we record this, last in the Eastern Conference overall.
Yeah. But still only 5 points back of.
That's right.
Now. Everybody, I think, at least Ottawa and Toronto, I know for sure, has games in hand on them as well.
Yep.
They've had bad injury problems. There's a bunch of things going on there. But what are you looking at doing if they are on the cusp of a lottery pick?
Yeah, at this point, because Stamkos isn't going to be back until mid-March, is my understanding, at the soonest.
Right. Do you look at, and to me... packaging up one of your goalies and that pick for a...
No, because they're going to have, for me, this is why Jamie's question is a good one. They're going to have major cap problems, right? When they have to re-sign Tyler Johnson and Andre Palat, and they have these pieces, right, that Jonathan Drouin is going to get a huge raise. Take the young guy, right? Take the pick. We talked a couple of weeks about the Leafs trying to compete while all these guys are on entry-level deals. When you're about to run into trouble, take the young high pick and hope. I think
you can get on something like Nolan Patrick
right.
or Michael Rasmussen.
Imagine that, right?
Guys.
If you can drop down and grab Nolan Patrick when you're already potentially an Eastern Conference finalist, you know.
Yeah.
It's an interesting point that he makes, right? Well, like, good teams having shit and unlucky and injury-raveled years. Ravaged years.
Ravaged.
You know.
Yeah.
Can you make something out of that?
Well, okay, of course you can, right? That's
silver lining.
yeah, and it's crazy that's where it's at.
Right. Because we both had Tampa, what, Eastern Conference finalists?
Well, for sure.
Yeah.
We both, in just going over recently,
yeah.
looking at predicting Tampa to win the division.
Yeah. That's true.
Right. And looking at there was no way you could foresee with the goaltending, their offense, Strawman, Hedman.
Yeah, you know what? It's interesting because I, in doing some research, people were raving about, you know, you don't stay this bad with defense that good. They're a top pair team. Now, maybe that's all you need, but the 3 through 6, they're not that good.
Look right? at the Penguins winning the Stanley Cup last year with...
Oof. Letang and then guys.
Yeah.
Well, Letang, Mata, and then a bunch of guys.
Trevor Daley. Man, when
Justin Schultz.
Yeah, when Daley went down, they're like, oh my God, you're never, how are you ever...
Well, oh, wait, there
honestly,
we're good.
Did they
miss
was he waived to there or was he traded for a 7th-round pick? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
That's a guy who came in that anybody could have had for a song and then yet you're winning a cup and feeling like he's an integral part.
Right. So it's an interesting...
And by integral, I meant integral.
Right.
But integral.
We're at that point in the... So an interesting question from Jamie. I do think in the long run this could help Tampa because they are going to have some – maybe it allows them to let Tyler Johnson go if you were to get a Nolan Patrick, right? Whatever is going to happen there. We've talked about even this expansion draft coming up.
Well, it's kind of like saying if you were broke and lost in a strange city and you fell down a hill and landed on a pile of money, would that be a good thing?
Couldn't hurt.
Well, this is it. If you suck this season.
I am not lost or in a strange city. I wouldn't mind falling down.
And I could use the good fortune of coming. Yeah, of course. Of course it is. Right? I think it's one of those things of there's nothing but upside to that.
Right. Kyle in Boston had a question. And Kyle's written in before. Kyle actually won our contest back in the summer. We were giving away Amazon gift cards for. So Kyle's been around for a while with us.
Chowda.
Chowda. Kyle in Boston. With the amount of CFL talk that happens on this podcast, you're clearly football fans. Why does the NFL not translate in Canada?
Because we hate the Patriots. Really, sorry about that, Kyle. But honestly, there's only so much Tom Brady you can take.
I think
And the hoodie? Come on, that shit makes me sick.
I think it would be dangerous to characterize the NFL not translating in Canada. That's not a thing. The NFL is huge in Canada.
The NFL is absolutely huge in Canada. And
huge on this podcast.
Yeah, okay. But and you know what? It's huge in all markets across this country, right?
Yeah.
Who we can't float. Toronto maybe could float a NFL franchise.
Right.
The rest of us have no hope in hell. So we sort of covet our little quirky league that we have, right? But even that, I'm a season ticket holder for the CFL, but I'm not married to it, right? I sort of have grown up with it, but, right? The NFL, clearly, that is the biggest, that's the biggest game. And not only do you have the best athletes, you have the best production value.
Honestly.
The way it's packaged and delivered. It's a killer property, right?
So, and to other Americans listening that might be thinking along the same lines as Kyle, the NFL is absolutely huge across Canada.
Huge.
But you maybe have stumbled across the wrong couple of sports show hosts. Now, I'm going to reframe Kyle's question a little bit because we have had over, you know, since we started this, kind of little bits here and there of people asking why we don't cover the NFL more. So let me reframe his question a little bit. What is it that makes you, and I'm the same way, more passionate, other than the locality of it, about the CFL than the NFL? Like, I kind of go through phases where I'm really...
Well, right, and that's where I was going with this,
yeah.
was I think both you and I are just in a lull in our NFL. I personally have followed it casually for 30 years.
Right. I'm aware of what's happening.
I've never had a team per se that I root for. Right. I've always liked.
Never had a player. That was it for me. I thought I was a Colts fan. Peyton went to Denver, and I went with him.
No, I like to watch entertaining teams. I'm certainly not a bandwagon jumper of any kind, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I like to watch entertaining football.
Yeah, I like good football.
I love the sort of the classic sort of traditional appeal of the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
Right? Small town.
Yeah, it's a shame how that went down.
Right? Era. With their classic unis, the colors are, honestly, I'm a sucker for
city owned. It's not
For the green and the gold. It's a sweet look, right?
Yeah.
And really, Aaron Rodgers is a stud.
Yeah.
Right? If you could put anybody around him, right, you'd be, yeah, I know there's all kinds of stuff to it, but that's a guy sort of with a cast of no-name characters.
Right.
Guy's going down. No problems. We're bringing somebody else. Right. Hey, who's that guy over there?
Hey, you
fella.
You're starting
popcorn.
Receiver.
Get out here.
Yeah.
So I think really, Kyle, to answer your question, we're both in a lull right now, right? Where it's kind of, and you've heard us talk about it in past seasons. Well, at least in this, not so much this year.
No, this might be the first NFL talk at all this season.
Well, and to me, the amount of negativity, and I'm not talking about, you know,
people beating up their wives.
The thugs that populate the league.
Right.
I'm talking about, honestly, Deflategate.
Yeah.
And everything that seemed to stretch on with that. I was just like, oh, my
it's
God.
Too much.
If you can just let the game, because the marketing and everything that comes with that. The game sells itself.
Right.
And there's nothing I like more. Hey, if it's a Sunday night, there's nothing else on TV on a Sunday night.
Right.
There's only so many times I can watch Out of Africa. Right? So just, you know, check out whatever's on. So
Rob's favorite YouPorn channel, by the way, for those of you who don't know.
Hot Black Women of the Caribbean, if you really want to know. But I get where you're going with this. But yeah. To me, why would you continue to try to shoot yourself in the foot?
So we're on this. I'm normally one of those people who – and it's really only been a year or two since Peyton retired. But even that, like if Peyton Manning was my favorite player –
It's been a year.
Yeah, if Peyton Manning was my favorite player, I would maybe watch 6 games a year of his, right? Like, but I would always get into it in the playoffs and I would be – fully informed, I'd be up to speed when the Super Bowl rolled around. And I won't be this year. I'll watch the Super Bowl, but I won't be – I haven't watched anything. Like, well, is there something to you this year that's – because I know you're very much the same way. Like, you can sit and watch and understand and get into an NFL football game.
I'm hoping like hell the Falcons win.
Sure, and me too. And I'm not a – one of my strongest and favorite – like, we've talked before about favorite sports memories and things that – is that David Tyree catch when the Giants beat the Patriots going for the undefeated season? I think that was the 07 Super Bowl.
Clapping the ball to his helmet.
That, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm sitting in a bar with some friends in Belleville and going crazy. And like, I can get into the NFL, but there's just something happening right now where it's just not speaking to me.
Well, and part of it, and Kyle, this may speak to you, and I'm not assuming simply because you're from Boston that you're a Patriots guy, but – man, we are inundated with Patriots fans here. And to me, I hate that. it's like they're all front runners. They may have been Bills fans before. I have no idea. But any team that gets success and then everybody says, you know, well, I've been a Patriots fan forever. No, you haven't. Right? Don't give me that
fucking
shit.
Fucking Maddie.
Okay, right there. Great example. Likely a Bills fan before that.
You know what? And I'm going to stop you there for a second. That's one of the biggest things to me. I grew up in the GTA, and the amount of coverage the Bills got was like, we live in this general area, so we should all love the Bills. Why? It's not the Toronto Bills. It's not the Ontario Bills. It's just the closest, I guess, geographical. I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, I went through a couple of years where I like the Steelers. I went through a couple of years where I like the Colts and then the Broncos. And the, don't feed me the Bills just because they're close. And then
and they suck.
And then later on, it was Rodgers bought a piece of it. So Rodgers also owns the Fan 590. And now we're going to cover the Bills to death. And it was just, I don't give a shit about the Bills. When it's the entire league, like, I assume this must be what it's like for fans in Saskatchewan of the NHL, right? Don't tell me who's closest to me. I don't have a team, so I'll choose my team. Right. Maybe it'll be Winnipeg. Maybe it'll be fucking, I don't know.
Maybe it'll be somebody
Tampa,
who like, played junior hockey here and has went on to play for Minnesota.
That's right. I don't have a team. Don't tell me who my team is, right?
Right.
And so that was always kind of a thing for me, was also just being so sick of hearing about the Bills and why I'm supposed to love them. And so since I could sit through and wait for the Bills season to be over and then the playoffs would start and the Bills clearly wouldn't be in them, it got a little easier to watch the NFL then.
And now it was huge, you know, in the early 90s when they had, you know, with Jim Kelly, Thurman Thomas, Bruce Smith.
Yeah, a couple straight appearances and
fought. For sure.
Yeah.
And so with the, you know, only to be foiled by a bunch of things, including, you know, pretty solid Dallas Cowboys teams. Yeah. But yeah, I think to answer your question with is we both like it.
I wouldn't read our indifference into the NFL not being popular in Canada. I would say even for CFL fans like we are, the NFL is understood to be the big show, right? And
the best.
Yeah.
And clearly, and again, so glossy, so well put together. Right. It is great analysis. It's a spectacle each and every week.
Yep.
Right? And I think also, much like a lot of Americans, I think suffering a bit from Thursday games.
Yeah, it's a little too much. It's everywhere.
The huge long day with games in London.
Yeah.
You know, just too much. Too much.
Yeah.
Stick with your Friday night high school games, your Saturday college games, and your Sunday pro games.
Sure.
With a special Monday nighter.
Yep.
Leave it like that.
Yep.
And I can't even speak for you guys, but clearly to me, if that was my bag, then I've got my football covered.
Right. So we'll move along. I actually thought that was a pretty good question from Kyle in Boston. This one comes from Red Deer Relapse.
Love
on
the
Twitter.
Name. Yeah. Love awesome. The handle.
Awesome. Is there any chance?
Although the relapse part leaves wide open for all kinds of speculation, like my passion for gay porn.
Whoa. Sorry, Red Deer.
Relapse? Like what?
Yeah. Is there any chance at all that Dana White can deliver on his offer to Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor?
And the offer is what? $25 million per?
$25 million apiece.
Yep.
On a boxing match.
And a split.
Of the pay-per-view, yeah.
Okay, see, that I was unclear on...
No, it's a boxing
it
match.
It is a boxing match?
Yeah.
It's garbage.
Okay, let's pretend it's not, and it's an MMA fight.
Absolutely. He's getting... If you look at the average pay-per-view rates or number of pay-per-views that sell,
yeah,
for a pay-per-view like that, I swear to you, you could push 200,000 pay-per-views.
So in doing some research in this one, when... Red Deer Relapse first sent this to me a week or two ago. Floyd Mayweather's pay-per-view numbers, at least the last couple of them, especially when you have to factor in the Pacquiao fight, destroy anything the UFC does.
Okay, so what are they doing? I didn't look at any. Okay, and I didn't realize it was a boxing match.
So Mayweather, before his pay-per-view splits, is pulling down $100 million on his fight.
So the offer from Dana was $25 million each plus a share or a...
Yep. A share of the pay-per-view buy.
Of the pay-per-view buy.
And everything I've read says that Mayweather is laughing at that. That there is no chance for that kind of... And here's the thing. If it's an MMA fight... Now, Mayweather is a... You know, we've seen what Mayweather... I've seen on YouTube because I wasn't paying the money for it. I've seen the fight with Pacquiao, right? I've seen, and it was everything that boxing people said it would be. It would be him being the best, Mayweather, I mean, being the best defensive boxer maybe the world has ever seen. And it's not fun. It's not entertaining. It's him just waiting you out, waiting you out, waiting you out. In an MMA fight, we know how that goes. We saw Randy Couture take on James Toney.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he killed him.
Right.
You're talking about two completely different.
Okay. And see, that's to me, that's where it came from. And the beauty of that is, yeah, Mayweather is just going to dance, move, defend, do all those sorts of things.
Right.
Because you're wearing a 16-ounce glove with – that's like a winter mitt.
Yes. Well, and that's what they're saying. It would be a boxing match but with MMA gloves.
Oof.
Yeah. Like, it gets interesting, but they're saying that there's not a chance for less than $100 million Mayweather's even looking at that. And Dana can't do that. Dana can't get up there.
Well, no. And to me, that's never going to happen anyways, because to me, it's a boring boxing match, right? And to me, McGregor is destroying him in an MMA match, which doesn't do Mayweather any favors.
Right. So why he's never going to take that. He'll never take the MMA fight. Now, what they're saying is Dana is promising, because they've had some issues in the last year or two, the UFC, in propping up these huge fights with bad undercards and it not doing so well. If you and I both remember very fondly UFC 100, and that was a stacked card top to bottom. That's how you crush records.
Well,
right?
With three main events
right.
on the main card.
Right. And so that's how you do it. And so no, to answer Red Deer Relapse, I don't think there's any chance that this offer is getting that done. And I don't think, given the way that the UFC writes contracts, I don't think they'll ever let Conor McGregor go do it for someone else that can afford to do it. But to get Floyd Mayweather into the octagon, even for a boxing match, starts at $100 million.
Okay, well, and you know what? I don't want to see them in the octagon with 5-ounce gloves.
Boxing. Do you want to see Floyd commit to the MMA fight or Conor get in a boxing ring?
Because a Hall of Fame generational boxer, even if he's a defensive boxer like Mayweather, is an elite level striker.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Right? And so...
But they're saying that I don't know if you know this, I did...
Throw 5-ounce gloves on that guy.
I didn't until I read it, and that this is one of the reasons that Mayweather's not going to... Mayweather's hands are all fucked up. A lifetime of fighting, I assume, will do that to you,
well,
right?
And thus the defensive...
Right. And so he's not putting on smaller gloves. Like, he's not... His hands can't strike.
Yeah. To me, this is a lot of hype and a lot of talk that'll never happen.
So to you, the answer is no. Dana has no chance of delivering on that.
Well, to me, Dana has a great chance of delivering on his promise of $25 million apiece and a split.
But that Floyd's never
going to take that. So to answer the question is, can Dana do it? Dana can do it. Will it happen? No, it'll absolutely never happen.
Did you see, and this is a side note before we get to the next question, Mike Goldberg did an interview not too long ago. He's obviously been released by the UFC.
Yeah, he's out.
Which is terrible. I always thought...
I liked him.
But him, and the way he called fights allowed me, and I got into the UFC a little later than you, and it was probably 06, 07 when I started getting into it. And he called fights in a way that allowed you to grow to understand it, right? And it wasn't this... Like, when Joe Rogan, who I really like... But he knows what he's talking about.
Well, he has a technical understanding.
Yeah. And when he would speak, when I was just getting into it, you go, okay. But Mike Goldberg allowed the casual fan to be able to engage in this and fully understand it. And he said,
"Hell of a skill as a play by play.
Absolutely.
Guy.
When you're trying to grow a sport, that's huge." And he said, on his way out, he said the producers never gave him time on his final broadcast to say goodbye, which he said at the time hurt a little. But as time went by, he kind of goes, "Yeah, I get that, right?" And he said, "All the goodwill I've gotten via email and Twitter and everything since then has made it completely irrelevant."
You and I watched his final fight card.
Yeah. But he said he has not then or since heard a word from Dana White. Not a thanks for what you did, not a...
Yeah. Well, and Goldberg has been there since the beginning.
Well, it was UFC 15... And it said on the article I read, UFC 15.5, which took place, I don't expect you to remember, that card was in Japan. I don't remember if it was a split you know, 15 was.
Yeah, no, I don't remember it at all.
But I don't either. But he's been around. We're at 207. He's been around since 15.
Yeah, and to me, when I say the beginning, that just means
before Zuffa. He is the only pre-Zuffa employee.
Not anymore.
No. Was the only pre-Zuffa employee.
Yeah. And so.
And he was fantastic, man.
Yes. And so, yeah, too bad.
Yeah. As we move on to the next one, I've lost. I don't have the name here for the person who asked the question, but I've got it written down here. Sorry about this if this is your question. Does the Oakland Raiders' decision to move to Las Vegas kill the NHL before they even got started?
The mere talk of it, absolutely, it throws a wet blanket on the excitement that comes from talk of being the first major pro team in the city. As we've just talked about with Kyle's question, right? The NFL's king.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they talk about the ratings for the Cowboys-Packers game, you know, eclipsing, you know, game sevens of the NBA Finals, Major League Baseball, World Series Finals, you know, game sevens or six, wherever it finished this year.
Right.
Like, not even being close.
Yeah.
So the mere talk, you go, yeah, we're going to get that one of the big four, which is really like, you know, the NHL is one,
the bottom,
is one of the big four. It's the fourth, and it's the fourth by a wicked margin.
Right. That's right.
Right? So.
But you can be first in, right? That was going to matter. You go from being first in to being first in for 30 seconds.
But to me, if this is next January that we're hearing this, and the Golden Knights have already got, you know, their feet wet, and they've already worked on this, and you start to hear about that, and you get the buzz, and you go, yeah, the Golden Knights are the first, NHL hockey. Well, now you're already looking past it. The Knights haven't started yet.
Right.
And you're already looking forward to the Raiders coming.
Yeah.
And you're like, oof. You sort of get lost in the wake of a big boat.
Man, that always made way more sense. And I get why the NHL wanted badly to be first in, at least to establish themselves for a year or two before someone showed up.
And that's what I'm saying. To me, it's a timing issue.
Yeah. But the NFL, whatever it does, it's you. And when you think of the amount of gambling that goes on around the NFL, it is night and day. The number
And make no mistake, too, when you hear Jerry Jones say things like, yeah, Vegas is one of the jewels of the United States.
Right.
Right? And it would be a spectacle to have a team there. It's done.
Yeah.
Man, it's done.
Oh, they've filed the papers. They're moving.
No, I know, but they've filed the papers, and it's waiting on ownership.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
And that's what I'm saying. And you have Jerry Jones coming forward, who is, you know, he and Kraft.
Yeah.
I don't know if there are bigger voices, and both and both have sort of said,
this is good for
them. Hey, that looks good. Yeah. That looks good for us.
Right.
Well, especially when... How many more teams can you have in L.A.? Well, I know.
Everybody's going.
And I know Oakland is not L.A., guys. I know that, right?
But San Diego is moving to L.A.?
Well, and interesting, in looking
St.
at
Louis
some of
just
this,
moved to
yeah,
L.A.
Yeah, and looking at some of these things, right, when they were – I didn't realize that Oakland was looking because the Alameda.
Yes, Oakland, Alameda County Coliseum.
Is decrepit, right? It's one of the oldest. It's not suitable.
Oh, shit.
But that the Raiders and the Chargers were looking to join on having having a stadium together.
Yeah.
And that didn't go through, and the Chargers are like,
see ya.
Out of here.
Yep. Peace out, honkies.
And so, and honestly, to me, it feels like the Raiders, and you and I talked about this, I thought the Raiders had been in and out of L.A. and Oakland for...
Back and forth a few times, and it seems like it was just the one.
And it seemed like Oakland to L.A., L.A. to Oakland, and now perhaps.
You don't think that's not going through?
No, that's going. I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with you. That's what I said.
Right.
You can file the papers, and then as soon as you get high profile owners saying, done deal, all of a sudden, NHL hockey, great, we're gonna have it. And you know what? As I've said earlier, initially it'll do quite well.
Yeah, at this point, right, we're close enough that they have to have acquired some contracts, right? Some season tickets, some box sales. Like, they should be okay right away. But they will immediately go from being first pro team in to second fiddle in a heartbeat.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, and anybody would in any market.
Right. Right.
That's just killed the Barons.
You needed...
Killed the Kansas City Scouts.
Wow. Yeah, true. But they needed 5 years to get in and be something.
Okay, and that's even further down the road that where I was going with, you know, if instead of this January, if it's next and the Knights have already got half a season
right.
in.
Right.
Right.
We're hooking fans up. You,
the buzz is, but like I
season
said.
Season ticket commitments.
You haven't even started yet.
Yeah.
We haven't drafted our
team
yet.
You don't matter. And that's the other big thing. They're going to draft an expansion team and say what you want about the Raiders. They're coming in with a team.
Well, and if you look at the team this year.
Yep. Yep.
You know.
Not bad.
QB stays healthy.
Yep.
That's a different team.
That's right. So they're going to come in with a reasonably decent team, and you're going to draft an expansion team.
And they're not talking about next season, right? They're talking about the season afterwards, right?
I'm not sure what that looks like because I've seen NFL teams pick up and move on pretty quick.
Well,
I don't know how that's going to turn around.
Yeah, talk to Cleveland fans. Right.
Moved out overnight.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There go the Mayflower trucks.
Didn't we have a team?
No, you don't.
Oh. Okay. Last question that we've got here.
Great question, though.
Yeah. Lisa submits this question through the Tall Can Audio contact page. Surprised at the lack of coverage for the World Baseball Classic. You both clearly love international sport and baseball. Why the lack of coverage? What do you think of Team Canada and the event?
Okay, you know what? This question is new to me. I'm fielding this out of the blue.
Yeah.
I think somebody said Eric Gagne or somebody.
Who pitched here in Ottawa last season.
Jesus Christ, for the champions.
Yes.
I think he's older than I am.
Also, Ryan Dempster, who retired 3 years ago, will pitch for Team Canada.
Yeah. What about the knuckleballer from Cape Breton there?
Oh, fuck. I don't know. Rob Ducey.
Rob Ducey's from Toronto.
I think he's second baseman.
And not a knuckleballer either.
So, it's interesting. And I am interested in the event. Canada is in a pool with the Americans, the Dominican Republic, and Colombia. So
we're third place.
Yes, at best. But when you bring in a guy.
Yeah, fuck Colombia. We're fucking those guys up.
You should look at our lineup. Shortstop, Russ Martin. It's funny, 4 years ago, everybody was ripping Russ Martin for wanting to be a shortstop, and this year they asked him to be. You know what? I think there's a little bit of...
Well, and 4 years ago, you had Jason Bay, and you had...
Morneau.
Yeah.
Morneau's going to play. It's funny, when you look at Team Canada right now, beside a lot of the guys, they don't have a team that they're currently playing for. Like Eric Gagne doesn't have a current team. Ryan Dempster doesn't have... Justin Morneau doesn't have a current team. The outfield might be okay.
Michael Saunders
and Dalton Pompey.
We don't even want that guy starting on our team.
Yeah, you should see some of the fucking, as I'm looking at this, going, looking at the fucking New Hampshire Fisher Cats. Who are these guys? Freddie Freeman, who it says is from California.
The Toledo Triangles.
Toledo Mudhens. Yeah.
Maroons.
Is it possible that it's just we know we're bad and so we don't care? Because I was ultimately, when this event started,
Stubby Clapp?
He's not there, but Peter Orr is there. Oh. He's been around forever.
All right, so. Well then there we go. Is Ernie Witt going to manage?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It's getting a little clownish, eh? When this started, I think 07 was the first one, 06, it was in that neighborhood, and the Canadians beat the Americans, but that's when you were talking about your Jason Bays and your Justin Morneaus, and we had all these guys, right, that were, Jeff Francis was still important, right?
Yeah.
And you kind of get to a point where I'm into this, let's see how this goes, but we are always going to be in a pool with the Americans, and they've put in this new rule where you can shuttle guys in and out. Like Clayton Kershaw is not on the first round roster, but if we make it to the finals, we can add him to that roster. And you're like, oh, okay, right? Like,
well, so and why can't we be in a pool with the Netherlands?
Because they're going to Korea or something in that pool, right? Like we're always going to be in the Americans pool. That's always going to happen.
Are the Dutch going to pull in Curaçao as well? Is that how that's going to be?
You look at that Dutch team and you kind of laugh. Man, they're going to be good. Xander Bogaerts is going to play there's some guys that you go, Didi Gregoria, right? Like they're going to be.
Yeah, but are they from Curaçao is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so that's a Dutch.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Yeah, in South America.
I think Gregorio is Didi Gregorio, but I don't know about Xander Bogaerts. Like, that might be my grandparents are from there, right? Like,
honestly, I think.
But that's what's happening. Like, we got Freddie Freeman on the infield. It says right on his fucking page, he's born in California. You go, okay, so where are your parents from?
Fast Freddie Freeman? I love that guy. So, Lisa?
Yeah.
We will likely check it out, and as it gets closer, we will. When is it?
So we will likely not check it. It's during spring training, right? And that's the thing that has always killed it for me is, you know, Team Canada's got
World Cup of Hockey,
two pitchers. It's worse than the World Cup of Hockey in that, let's say we got two pitchers, but in the first round, and we're going back to 07 or whatever, Jeff Francis, our ace, only allowed to throw 40 pitches. Because it's an agreement with the PA. It's, you know, not burning these guys. So it's not a real, you know, it's the closest thing baseball has. And I've been intrigued. And I'm sure when it rolls around, I'll end up watching. But I think for me, there's a certain amount of, yeah, Canada's weaker than it's been in either of the last two. And so, yeah, I don't really care.
We will likely watch and we will likely mock. That's what
Russell Martin at shortstop.
That's what Canadians do usually.
So on a 1 to 10 scale, what's your interest level in the World Baseball Classic?
I don't even know when it was.
Okay.
So I'm going to say 2.
I think her comment, though, is fair that anything international we're into and anything baseball we're into, and yet when we put the two together, it's so far gotten nothing.
No, it's absolutely a valid question. Yeah. And you know what? Yeah, it'll get played the closer it gets.
Yeah.
And I think last year, if you asked me, I recall you asking me, in February, what my interest in the Jays was.
Right.
And I said it was a 3. Right? It was low starting last year due to the high and the absolute, and then the fiasco the offseason was with AA stepping away and all that sort of how they managed to turn all that goodwill.
Right.
So you know what? But, you know, by midseason, it had amped up to a 7 or an 8.
Yeah.
So, you know, also when the roster takes shape.
Yeah, it's.
I was gonna say I'm looking at you like that with that pregnant pause because
it's out there.
I was gonna say if it's already out, then
no, it's not fully, completely. But no, it's pretty close to full, and it's not.
Well, you know what? We need to have some naturalized Canadians is what needs to happen.
When even you look at the team, and I know you haven't from the Dominican Republic, it's 35 and up. Like that's an old team, and they're gonna stomp us, right? Like it's Bautista just walked right onto it. Robinson Cano is gonna walk right onto it. Adrian Beltre is on there. Like, they're old but good. Like, and the only reason I bring
it's
that up.
It's an oldie but a goodie.
The only reason I bring it up is looking at it and going, the Dominican's one of those places that just churns out baseball players. Where's all the young guys? And they're not on this team. And I only found that today looking at Lisa's question. I figured I should check out the rest of the
well, thanks
the
for sharing Lisa's question with me.
Yeah, well. it's one. We've got George Contreras is going to catch for Canada so Russell Martin can go play shortstop.
Is it George or is it Jorge?
I can't be sure.
Jorge Contreras.
It does seem like Jorge would make more sense. It's spelled in a traditional George kind of way. But there's pieces of that 2015. There's pieces of that 2015 Pan Am team that are going to go and, I guess, play. You know, Chris Archer's on Team USA, right? Dylan Betances is on the Dominican Republic team. Andrew Miller back on the USA. Like, their bullpen could start against this Canadian lineup and just mow it down. So I think there's a certain amount of... I think in past years, this event has received more coverage in Canada, but we've been more competitive. And so...
Well, and you know what, Lisa? Thumbs up to you for being bullish and out in front on that.
Yeah. Yeah. So... Yeah, you know what? Fun show. We'll do this again.
Hey, and give us, Lisa, what are you thinking?
Yeah.
What's your take? Where's your, now the very fact that you're asking.
Obviously means you're more enthusiastic than we are.
Yeah, but what's your take? What do you think the probability of any success is?
Yeah. This is tough. Like, we played that 07 team. We played the Americans and beat them and didn't get through to the second round. Canada's never advanced to the second round.
And are you okay with a big flame out? An 0-for-3 in the round robin,
or Columbia,
or a 1-2.
Yeah,
right. That's what I'm interested in.
Scott Diamond, you remember that name? He's pitching for Canada.
Is he related to Dustin?
Dustin, no, maybe. But the fact that, like, Ryan Dempster's been retired for 3 years. He's coming back. Eric Gagne is 41 years old. Everyone remembers him as this, like, flame-throwing closer for the Dodgers. I swear, they brought him back here in Ottawa last year pitching for somebody to come and – or was it pitching for Ottawa? But it was supposed to be a big deal that, like
– Well, you know what?
If you're pitching in Ottawa for anybody, you're not doing that
anywhere.
Right.
And you know what? It's worth noting, guys. I'm just going to put this out there. You know, back about, you know, 25 years – Peterborough exhibition.
Oh my God.
Hitting 65 on the radar gun. I'm also available.
Well, fuck, they might need you, man. Jesus Christ.
And that 65 is not a knuckleballer. That's straight
that's
heat right there.
That was a lot of fun. And we'll do this again. It was great to get some questions in and speak directly. You guys keep them coming. And if there's enough of them, we'll do these more often.
Right on.
Yeah. That's Talk and Sports. We'll see you.
See ya.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit TallCanAudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at TallCanAudio.